You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
Hold on to those hats out there if you're outside today or if you're driving. Definitely a two hands on the wheel 10 and 2 day. What is it not, but especially today? High wind warning out there. Welcome aboard. It is Gym Class making your way and making its way through the 3 o'clock hour here on a Friday, the final day of the month of February. March Madness is officially upon us, and that will be coming up in about 8 hours and 53 minutes and 30 seconds. Can't wait. Got a good show coming up for you. We will talk some basketball. A big one as far as who's getting in and who's not getting into the Big Ten championship tournament will be tonight at Evanston, Illinois at Welsh Ryan Arena, formerly known as McGaugh Hall, as it'll be Iowa and Northwestern going at it this evening. We'll talk about that. Look ahead to Iowa State and Arizona. Big game tomorrow night. And we'll talk to Jeff Linder of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. So not only preview the girls' state basketball tournament, but maybe talk a little college women's basketball as well. Jeff covers college women's hoops, the Iowa Hawkeyes, Iowa State, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll talk with Jeff Linder coming up in just a little bit. Text line available to you at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That's the phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, that's also 319-366-1600. Coming your way on this windy Friday at 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Scott Unash with you, Mark Dukes, and Isaac all assembled and ready to go on this Friday. I believe Mark is there. Are you there, Mark?
Yes, sir.
All right. It is
good afternoon to you and Isaac. Good afternoon to you and Isaac and everyone. And yeah, it's not even worth trying to tell somebody to go fly a kite today.
No, you would be.
Although it's tempting.
You would be taken down the road with a kite today. It's a 5-club wind, I think. In fact, crossing the Cedar on 380 southbound, your vehicle was being pushed around by the wind up there. You probably had that same situation on your trip, didn't you, Isaac?
Oh, yeah. It was moving around quite a bit.
Yeah.
Two hands for sure, not just one under like I sometimes do.
Don't say that, Isaac.
I said sometimes. I didn't say all the time.
Yeah. A little bit more. Pay close attention today to your driving. You should always do that. My public service announcement, but pay a little bit more attention to it today. 319-366-1600. We'll get you an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update coming up here in just a little bit. But got some basketball to discuss here, Mark. And Iowa Northwestern, no, this one is not going to be pulling in a lot of eyeballs around the country as far as, oh my gosh, we have to be watching Iowa Northwestern coming up tonight in the Big Ten. But for these two teams, and these two coaches and these two programs don't get a whole lot bigger than this game tonight. I don't want to say it is an elimination game, but it might be an elimination game with the winner qualifying for the 15-team Big Ten tournament coming up in a couple of weeks and the losing team with a hill to climb. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, it's not the end all because there's two games after this one tonight for both teams, but clearly it's big from the standpoint of getting in the Big Ten tournament. Iowa won the first game on a
Josh Dix turnaround prayer.
Improbable Josh Dix three-pointer at the buzzer, but Iowa's an underdog tonight, 4.5 points, and I don't like the vibe here, but you never know about this Iowa basketball team. It can score a lot of points. Northwestern scoring at a higher clip than it has in most recent years. I think it's going to be, into the 70s, maybe in the 80s, if that would benefit Iowa. But I think Nick Martinelli is really a matchup problem because he's so adept, crafty in the paint, and you'll see that tonight.
Northwestern is beat up. To be honest with you, what Chris Collins has done with that team, including winning the last two, has really been pretty remarkable. I mean, this does not resemble anything like the team that started the Big Ten season back in early December, which seems like about 8 years ago when Iowa beat Northwestern on that Josh Dix turnaround shot at the buzzer. So it's a completely different ball game, and so much on the line in this one coming up tonight. And like we said yesterday, Iowa has had great nights in Evanston, and they have had lousy nights in Evanston. There have been some good Iowa basketball teams that have gone into Northwestern and either lost or had to really, really sweat it out to come away with a victory. Now, if Iowa wins, they will tie Rutgers at 7-11 and have the massive tiebreaker over Northwestern. They would have the tiebreaker over Penn State, the tiebreaker over Washington. You can make somewhat of an argument that if Iowa wins this thing, they're looking much, much better to get in the tournament. Suddenly, USC is down in last three territory, by the way. Trojans are 6-11. They have lost their last four. Washington is in bad shape right now at 4-13. Penn State, not much better at 5-13. And then one of the teams between Rutgers, Iowa, Northwestern, and USC and Minnesota is not going to make the tournament or the conference dance, if you will. I will put this into perspective, Mark, just because it's fun. Iowa 6-11, Northwestern 6-11, USC and Minnesota 6-11, fighting to get into their conference tournament. Meanwhile, Oklahoma is 4-11 in the SEC, and several bracketologists have them in the tournament.
This too will sort itself out, Scott.
319-366-1600 if you'd like to comment about Iowa and Northwestern coming up tonight. Cyclone Tim says, I'll watch. Now, I find that hard to believe, unless you're a college basketball junkie. It justifies my Friday night drinking to ease the pain of watching. Oh, man. It's not quite that bad. I don't think it's quite that bad, Isaac. Like I said, Northwestern's been playing good ball as of late. And Kevin Lehman said that yesterday when we talked with him.
At least there's stakes, too. It's not like an insignificant game where, like, if everyone was guaranteed to be in the Big Ten tournament, this game would not, I want to say it wouldn't matter, but in the grand scheme of things, it wouldn't be that impactful. But with the sort of Iowa being on the bubble, Northwestern being on the bubble, it is pretty impactful now.
And, you know, you'd look at it with Iowa, and like you said, Mark, even if the Hawks lose tonight, crazier things have happened. We can all remember the big comeback against Michigan State a few years ago. Tom Izzo's Spartans have not fared in Iowa City very well over the years. And Michigan State comes in for senior night on Thursday before Iowa closes up the regular season next weekend against the Nebraska Cornhuskers in Lincoln. So, you know, it's not a slam dunk that Michigan State is going to come in to Iowa City and walk away with a victory. Although Michigan State right now is in a dogfight with their in-state rival Michigan Wolverines to try to win the regular season Big Ten titles. They've got a two-game lead over the Wisconsin Badgers in third by themselves at this point. So coming down to the wire, it's always a lot of fun.
Well, a couple of potential pluses for Iowa tonight. Apparently Drew Thelwell, guard, will be back and available. We'll see how much he'll play and how effective he may be. And Northwestern's got a couple guys out for the season, including Brooks Barnheiser, veteran. But they were out when Northwestern went to Minnesota and won. You know, like you say, what Collins has done with this team is sort of kind of remarkable. And although Iowa's won 10 of the last 11 of the last 12 meetings with the Cats. Tonight's game may be a different animal. I don't know.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting, to say the least. 319-366-1600. How psyched are you, Hawkeye fans, to take in the ball game tonight? And I know there are people out there that are hoping for a loss because they want to see chaos happen in the offseason. Who knows what's going to happen in the offseason, even if Iowa doesn't make the Big Ten tournament. Nobody knows at this particular time. It is all speculation, certainly. And, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility, Mark, that Iowa sweeps the last three and gets to 9-11. I don't see it happening, but it is not out of the realm of possibility.
Well, it's not out of the realm, but one of them is Michigan State. The other two are on the road, and Iowa is 1-7 on the road and has gotten clobbered on the road, including most recent game. No, it's not out of the realm. Nothing's out of the realm, but pretty unlikely.
No. According to ESPN, talking with Spencer in the sports office prior to coming onto the air, he's told me that Iowa still has a 1% shot, according to ESPN, of getting into the tournament. Isaac's rolling his eyes.
1% shot, sure. I think every Iowa fan would admit it is a 0% shot at this point.
Well, the first thing you got to do is you got to get into the Big Ten tournament, and you got to win the thing, which is going to be very difficult going through Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That is if you get in. 319-366-1600. That's the Iowa story. Iowa State home Saturday night against the Arizona Wildcats. Arizona coming in number two in the Big 12 at 13-4. Three full games behind the Houston Cougars, who have a stranglehold on the Big 12 regular season championship right now. This suddenly a very, very important game, Mark, for the Iowa State Cyclones. A win, and you're in pretty good position in being in that top four as far as the seedings for the Big 12 tournament is concerned. A loss, and suddenly Iowa State goes down into a tie with Kansas for fifth. And having to do some catching up, if you will, to try to get into that top four seeding position anyway. So this is a big one for the Cyclones on Saturday night.
It is. Arizona's, 6-3 on the road and has played fairly well. I think the most important thing for Iowa State, kind of get itself back together. It didn't sound like from talking to Kevin Lehman yesterday that Keyshawn Gilbert would be back for this game, maybe for a while. Could be wrong about that with a calf injury. That would help to get him back. But Iowa State just needs, Hilton Coliseum is going to be a big benefit. I think the magnitude of the game is going to be a benefit to spur on the Iowa State. It's a tough opponent. But the stakes, I think, are getting, the season's, three games left in the regular season, and the time is now for Iowa State to put things back together, quit turning the ball over so much, and get back to the rhythm and chemistry that it had at one time.
Iowa State needs a win. If they get a win, that pretty much, well, I'm not going to say it solidifies them into the top four, which is a double bye. Iowa State would not have to play until Thursday, even as the number four seed. They would not have to play until Thursday, which is obviously good. Now, remember, Iowa State's going all the way last year, and did that have an adverse effect on the Cyclones down the stretch? I don't know. Kevin Lehman talked about that yesterday. And if you missed our conversation, our off-the-glass segment with Kevin Lehman, go back and listen to that. It's available in our podcast at kgymradio.com, Apple, or Spotify. I think Iowa State is going to have a lot of motivation, Mark, for this particular ball game. If you think back three weeks or so ago in Tucson when Caleb Love hit the shot from about two-thirds court to take that game into overtime, and then ultimately Arizona getting the overtime victory in that one. I can't imagine that fact has been lost on the Iowa State Cyclones in the last couple days.
No, I don't think so at all. That was a really tough loss, and it may have started the downward trajectory for Iowa State. Is downward, it's a slight downward trajectory, but nevertheless, it hasn't gone so well in the last month or so. But the stakes are high for Arizona too. It's a top 25 team and playing for a lot as well. So just have to see how it transpires.
Next Tuesday is going to be fun too. BYU comes in to Hilton Coliseum next Tuesday night, and there are really, other than Houston, there isn't a team playing better in the Big 12 right now than the BYU Cougars at this point. And that could be, there could be a lot on the line seeding-wise in the Big 12 tournament for that one. Not only Saturday night, but then Tuesday night, and then a nationally televised game on CBS a week from tomorrow to close out the regular season as they go to Bramlage for the rematch with the Kansas State Wildcats. And I guarantee you Iowa State remembers what happened in Ames when Kansas State came over.
Yeah, the BYU game's big too, because Iowa State and BYU are currently tied for fourth in the league right now, and BYU's won five in a row. As you said, playing as well as anybody in the league. First things first, though, that Arizona game.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Cyclone Tim saying even if they beat Arizona, they still need to beat BYU to get ahead of them. Well, BYU's got to keep winning too. So, and they've been on a heater as of late. BYU steadily moving up as far as the bracketology is concerned. And most everybody with a new, fresh bracketology out today going into the weekend on the men's side. And like I said, four and 11 Oklahoma. Should you be in the NCAA tournament, Mark, if you're seven games under 500 in your conference?
I can think of a lot of teams that should not be in the tournament for various reasons, and maybe that's one. I'm not a proponent of all these not even mid-majors getting berths in the tournament, but I'm in the minority maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, 4-11, though. That's not right. That's not right. You don't deserve to go to a tournament if you're 4-11 in your league. But Oklahoma in several of them. 319-366-1600. There is good news on the NCAA expansion front that we talked about with Kevin Lehman yesterday as well, Mark. Some news coming out today from one of the higher-ups as far as the NCAA is concerned. And if you are against the NCAA men's basketball tournament expanding, you're breathing a little easier today.
Yeah, NCAA men's and women's tournaments, really nothing finalized right now, according to Dan Gavitt, who is vice president of basketball for the NCAA, said nothing's really imminent in that regard, although discussions have taken place. But expansion of the field is for 2026 anyway, not really at the forefront right now. That could change. They meet in July, I think. That could all change. But right now, interestingly enough, and depending on your perspective, maybe you want the field to expand. I don't know.
I think it's just fine the way it is right now, because I know what's going to happen. It's going to not be the Drakes of the world. It's going to be teams that are 2-11. In the conferences that are going to get in, or everybody from the Power Five will get in there. I don't want to see that. Certainly don't want to see that. Speaking of the Iowa State game, big thanks to Lisa Nolan Realtor at LisaNolanRealty.com, the cardinal sponsor of Iowa State men's and women's basketball. And you can hear the Cyclones coming up tomorrow night against the Arizona Wildcats. Speaking of bracketology, Mark, very interesting with Charlie Cream on the women's front before we get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update here. Charlie's latest coming out today, last four in, includes Iowa State still hanging on precariously to a spot, along with Harvard and Princeton. Let's hear it for the Ivy League in women's basketball, ladies and gentlemen. But a total of four Big Ten teams between Charlie Cream's last four byes and last four in. That would be Indiana, Nebraska, the Washington Huskies, and the Minnesota Golden Gophers are all in a very precarious spot at this time. You're wondering about Iowa? We'll talk about this with Jeff Linder coming up here in just a couple of moments here after we get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. Hawkeyes right now are a six, and Charlie Cream has them playing their first two rounds at Cameron Indoor against the Duke Lady Blue Devils. They would be the number three seed. So Iowa a six, but they have an up arrow next to them at this present time, Mark. So win against Michigan, I think, solidified everything for Iowa. It's, I think no thoughts, even with a early exit in the Big Ten tournament, barring something crazy, would keep Iowa and the women out.
Yeah, I'm not sure much will change with the Wisconsin game at home. Iowa favored to win that. Senior Day should be a lot of excitement there. And then Iowa going into the tournament will be favored in the first round. So that six seems, you know, a pretty good landing spot for Iowa right now.
And you don't have to pay four figures to get into the arena on Sunday for the Iowa-Wisconsin game. It is up to – good seats are up to four figures now for the Fever's exhibition game against the Brazilian national team. You're going to go. You're going to pay a lot. Let's just say that. And it's only going to go up. We're going to talk to Jeff Linder coming up when we return, but we need to get it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update at this time. Emil's Hideaway, a classic local American restaurant right off First Avenue, across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot, and open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday. And what do we have today?
Obscure Englishman beat the odds today when he scored two holes in one on the DP Tour at the South African Open. Odds of making two aces in the same round are estimated to be 67 million to one. That player was Dale Whitnell. Never heard of him, Scott.
I had neither till today. Only shot a 63, though.
At the Cognizant Classic on the PGA Tour in Florida, 49-year-old Cedar Rapidian Zach Johnson is on the leaderboard. Right now, playing his last few holes of the second round, Zach is 6 under par on the day, 11 under for the tournament, and in a tie for third place. Iowa baseball dropped the first of its four-game series with Washington State yesterday, 12-7. Game two is underway in Texas with the Hawkeyes and Washington State tied 2-2 in the fifth inning. Finally, the Rams and quarterback Matthew Stafford agreed today on a restructured deal that will keep the 37-year-old with the team through next season.
Yeah, great for him. And I think a good move by the Los Angeles Rams. I like Matt Stafford. He's a winner.
I do too.
Yeah, I think he's done a good job. All right, 3:29. We'll take a break. Jeff Linder of the Gazette will join us when we return. We'll preview the girls' state basketball tournament, which starts on Monday down at Wells Fargo Arena. We'll talk a little bit of women's college basketball as well. Matt on the text line says even this win couldn't straighten out Iowa's season. I hope they make the tournament, but I'm not holding my breath at this point. That would be the Big Ten tournament. We'll take a break, come back, have more for you on a Friday edition of the Gym Class. Stay with us. More to come after this.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And there's going to be plenty of sunshine today and plenty of wind, which has also led to high fire danger today. Temperatures are going to be rising to a high near 60. Winds will gust as high as 50 miles per hour. And red flag warnings are in effect as we have dry air and dry grounds as well. Fires can spread very quickly in these conditions, so be mindful of anything that can cause a spark. Tonight, the winds will stay strong. Temperatures will drop to a low around 20. And tomorrow will be sunny, calmer, and cooler. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Ram-cam, where businesses build their brand.
The sun peaks over the horizon. Nature begins to awaken. The rooster crows, and your alarm sounds a screeching tone that jolts you from your slumber. Your heart starts pumping, and you reach to put an end to the horrid noise by hitting the snooze button. But you have placed the alarm clock far enough away that it requires you to get out of bed. As your feet hit the ground and you sit upright, you scream out in agony. Oh, my back! Notice that you didn't wake up saying, I need a new mattress. Your focus was on the problem, not the solution. Hey, I'm Stacey Dayball. What solutions do you offer to your customers? Are you telling them how you can help in a way that actually catches their attention? You need a brainsformation from KZIA. Let us add more customers through a proven system that finally breaks through and get your business famous for what you do. Join me April 8th at 8 a.m. for Brand Camp at the African American Museum. To register, go to KZIA.com, go to the Brandsformation tab at the top of the page, and sign up there. I can't wait to see you.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quickstar. And if you're hungry, they've got what you need at Quickstar. We know you're busy, so don't worry. Whether it's a quick bite or a dinner to go, Quickstar, they are your ultimate destination for savory meals and appetizers that hit just right, including cheese curds, mini tacos, stuffed spuds, mozzarella sticks, what have you. They've got some terrific spicy chicken sandwiches as well. They are delicious. They've got some great specials going on right now. Urge chips and popcorn, 5 to 12 ounce assorted varieties, 2 for $3.50, limit 4. Don's Pizza, assorted varieties, 4 for $10 or $3.99 each, limit 4. And Quickery Buns, hamburger or hot dog, 99 cents per 8-count package, limit 4. And of course, don't forget to use your Quick Rewards app. Stop on by your neighborhood Quickstar.
Farming's hard. To feed the world, farmers have to work the land, brave the elements, and fight the battle against weeds. Weeds reduce crop yields, so prices go up and everybody gets less to eat. But 50 years ago, farmers got a new tool to fight weeds, glyphosate. It kills weeds while protecting the harvest. Time and again, it has been approved by the EPA and by leading regulatory bodies around the world. It helps enable practices that reduce erosion and keep soil healthy, which is good for the earth. Farming's hard, but it's a little easier with glyphosate. Learn more at go.bayer.com/glyphosate. Paid for by Bayer.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
We're everyday people doing good in our community. Our kindness runs deep, just like our blood. The same blood we donate to help treat sickle cell disease, which hits Black people the hardest. Good news is, 1 in 3 Black blood donors is a match for someone struggling with sickle cell disease. Stand tall in the eyes of your community. Donate today because our blood saves lives. Visit redcrossblood.org/ourblood to make your donation.
Whether you're tinkering in your garage or tackling big projects, if you know the value of working with your hands, you know Harbor Freight. And you can be confident knowing that at Harbor Freight, you can get quality tools at prices that work just as hard as you do. Because the only thing more satisfying than a job well done is a job well done, well under budget. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight.
3:34, back with you on a windy Friday edition of the Gym Class right here in Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN. We've got all kinds of college basketball coming your way tomorrow. A doubleheader to get things started from ESPN. That will get us going in the morning. And I can tell you those two teams coming up here. It will be Clemson at Virginia. That will be a 10:30 pregame for that one, followed by Texas Tech at Kansas, big one in the Big 12. And then, of course, tomorrow night we will have Iowa State and Arizona from Hilton coming up at 7 o'clock. So a lot of basketball coming your way tomorrow right here on 1600 ESPN. Basketball, that is the topic with our next guest, Jeff Linder of the Gazette. Read his stuff at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on the X or Twitter, and he will be doing a lot of that coming up starting on Monday at the Girls State Basketball Tournament at Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines. And it's you'll have to be there on Monday, Jeff, which is good news.
Yeah. After 2 years off, we've got some 5A teams, don't we?
Yeah, and it has been a few years, but as they say, a lot of things are cyclical, and I think this is too. Having good talent helps. A lot of things have to come together, and suddenly you got two teams from the Mississippi Valley playing in 5A on Monday afternoon and Monday morning.
Yeah, and talk about talent. Prairie had talent, and they added Bruce Dahl, and I think he might have been the missing link. And boy, they really took off this year, and they're 20-4, and I think they've got a really good chance to win that first game. And then, of course, Iowa City Liberty making its first trip in school history. Was that their eighth year, and they get to play David, don't they? Johnson.
Yeah, they are the David role, and good for the former Jamie Printy. Most people know her as Jamie Printy. Jamie Brandt now took a year off, had a second child last year, and just seeing the video of when they won the other night against City High, man, that was neat to see for her.
Yeah, and I think she probably came back, you know, a little bit recharged, and she's got a really good player, Natalie Ramsey, who's going to go to South Dakota here in a couple of years. But, we're going to see how good they are 10 o'clock Monday because Johnson's really, really good. And who knows? You just don't know.
Jeff, a lot of sentiment, obviously, for Xavier in this tournament with Tom Lilly bowing out after this year. Gee, I remember him coaching at Regis. He's had such a tremendous career, and I think you like him in the first round.
Yeah. I'll tell you, that 4A field from 1 to 8, holy cow. Who do you count out of that field? I don't think you can. And that includes Xavier, which is certainly not your grandfather's 8 seed. You can't count them out from winning the whole thing, can you?
No. I don't think I think you could make a point for all 8 of those teams coming up with 3 wins to win it all.
Absolutely. And, another area team, Maquoketa making their first trip ever. They've had a longer history than Liberty, which we just talked about. But Maquoketa's there for the first time, and with an all-junior lineup. They kind of remind me a little bit of Clear Creek Amana 3 years ago. And they were kind of junior sophomore dominated that year. They didn't have a very good game there, but they came back the next year and won the whole thing. And I'm not saying Maquoketa is not gonna have a good tournament, but I think their best days are ahead.
Are they healthy right now?
I think so.
Okay.
I think all 5 of their starters played against Marion the other night.
Good. Good to hear. That is 4A, and again, a very good field. Johnston's a prohibitive favorite in 5A. In 3A, I think Nate Sanderson and Mount Vernon, a prohibitive favorite, but, you can make Dubuque-Wallert playing the 5A competition all year. The former Stephanie Rich is going to be back with Williamsburg at the state tournament, and they've got a good team. So, Mount Vernon's going to have to earn it.
Oh, sure. Anybody that wins is going to earn it. I would say Mount Vernon's probably the most prohibitive of the prohibitives. Johnson's got they've got Dowling laying in the weeds there in the bottom half of that bracket, and they those two games were single digit games. I would be very surprised if Mount Vernon doesn't win it. They've got 5 really, really good players. And the addition of Savannah Wright, the freshman, has brought him to another level. And I think just the fact that they've gone to more of a man defense, and you know they've got some little bulldogs out there with Wright and the Frank twins that love to defend and you know turn some steals into points. And boy, they're a very entertaining team to watch. Very unselfish and very balanced.
Well, in 2A, Regina, I think its only loss was to Mount Vernon, right, Jeff?
And, yeah, that was a tail kicking that night. But, you know, usually Regina's kind of on the other end of the – they're the kickers and not the kickies. Yeah, very good team. Morgan Miller, terrific basketball player. They've got some shooters. They've got some size. And they're going to be a pain for anybody, you know, that – that first round from Cocoa Valley, you know, that could be a competitive game. But I think 2A is kind of like 4A, that there really aren't any weak teams there.
Yeah, when Trainer is a big 2A team, and they'll give Eddyville, Blakesburg, Fremont in that 1-8 game everything they want. And then you know after that, Regina the 2, Hinton's undefeated as a 3, so it's a good field.
Yeah, and you talk about, you know, girls basketball, they know how to play it in Northwest Iowa. You know, Hinton Rock Valley, that's going to be a great first-round game. Central Lyon, wouldn't surprise me if they got to the final. Wouldn't surprise me if they won the whole thing.
True. It's girls state tournament week because in 1A, you've got Garrigan, Northland, Springville, and Newell Fonda and Montezuma all there. So all the blue bloods are there in 1A.
Yeah. And you haven't even talked about St. Albert, which is the number one team. I think there's a little bit of a gap between the 1 through 4. I think there kind of has been all season between those four teams and everybody else. But we'll see. You know, Montezuma's been there. Springville's been there before, not for 3 years, but, you know, Christina Zaruba knows how to win. And, I think, you know, they're not going to go out there and be scared.
Springville may have the best player too in the field.
I'm not sure there's any doubt about that. Rowan Jacoby is terrific. We saw her down at the regional final against, Sigourney the other day, and what I think she had 23 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists. And I'll say this, she would help anybody in the state. She could help Johnston, she could help Dowling. Absolutely, there's no doubt about that.
She's also going to South Dakota, so Coyotes came in and got 2 Eastern Iowans in a couple years. Are going to be pretty good.
yeah, they're both going to be really, they're both already really good. So, but yeah, I would think Jacoby can keep keep that team in a game against just about anybody.
Yeah. Miss Iowa basketball, Libby Fandel, what kind of chance does she have?
She's getting my vote. She's, I talked to Morgan Page. I'm working on a story on Libby here for Monday's paper. And Morgan Page, the former Marion prep, she couldn't be more tickled to have her, you know, in Fog Allen Fieldhouse here next year.
Yeah, I mean, leading 4A in scoring, has just done everything. And really, even the scoring at about 25 a game could be 35 because she's also very unselfish.
Yeah, she is. And she's one of the best things is she tries to get everybody else involved. She's a really good defender. She's long, you know, that's kind of the term that the people like to use. She's, you know, she's 6 foot and long armed. She's just a great basketball player, great athlete. You know, we saw what she did in volleyball and, she's got a great future ahead of her.
Can you put her career in a historical perspective, Jeff, because she's going to end up the number 2 scorer in Metro history behind Ann O'Neill. It's difficult to compare eras and players at different positions, but do you have some perspective on that?
Well, yeah, it's a different era. Ann was great. Ann was a scorer. You know, Libby does some things better, probably a better defender. might have a little bit more around her than Ann had when she was at Kennedy, as far as the caliber of teammates. Ann was just a great scorer. She had a great career at Iowa State, and I'm not going to say anything bad about her because she was fantastic. I missed some of the other kids that, when Jeff and Wash were at their best earlier in the 90s, that was before my time. But that was kind of the heyday to Metro basketball, wasn't it? When Jeff was so good and Wash was so good. But I'm getting off point here. I would say by all means, Libby's one of the five best players that has ever come through this town.
Yeah. Jeff Linder of the Gazette joining us here as we come up on 3:46. A little while ago, you put out and penned you don't pen things anymore, you type them. But wrote a terrific piece about kind of where we are in numbers in girls basketball and where we are right now and then looking into the future of girls basketball. I know you put a lot of work into that. It was a terrific piece. Kind of besides what you wrote and what we all read, what did you learn about the state and the health of girls basketball in a tradition-rich state like Iowa here in 2025?
Well, it's not just here. And it's basketball is, it's bleeding. I'm not going to say it's dying, but it's bleeding, and it's bleeding pretty hard right now. Volleyball is where it's at, whether it's high school volleyball or club volleyball, which, just kind of happens to have its season during the same time as high school basketball, but that's neither here nor there. I'm sure not going to blame the advent of girls wrestling. I don't think that's the reason. I think what's happening here in this state and everywhere with girls wrestling is fantastic. The kind of the gist of what everybody says, it's basketball. It's a hard sport and there's a lot of running. You've got to put a lot of time into it as far as honing your skills, whether it's shooting or ball handling or whatever. It's tough, and not everybody wants to put that commitment in anymore. So that's what a lot of people say. Is it going to rebound after these little squirts that have, idolized Caitlin Clark, for the last 5 years as they grow up? Is that going to be a renaissance? We'll know in 5 years or 10 years. Cause we just don't know yet if that's going to cause a rebound.
Well, I'll ask you this, and watching, you've seen as many games as I have in girls basketball over the last couple of years, and the number used to be a lot of teams had four or five really talented girls, and I think that number is kind of down to, okay, this team's got one, this team's got two, this team might have three, and then the drop-off just is astounding.
Nobody wants, in these days of social media, nobody wants to go out there and get beat 90-20 and have Barstool ex high school saying your team sucks. That's no fun. That's no fun for anybody. And that goes for everything. But if your team is not good and you're playing a team that is good, you get 90-20 or 111-8 or something like that. And who wants to deal with that?
Nobody.
Yeah. So, social media might be a part of it just because of the nature of the beast and some of that stuff, but it's a tough sport, and I'm certainly not advocating the return to 6-on-6. That day is come and gone, and we'll never see that again, and we never should. But, I don't know what the answer is. Maybe I think we're going to see in the next few years another round of a lot of consolidations, so that maybe some of the talent pools at some of these schools will be a little bit bigger and better. I don't know. And it's not just the small schools that are hurting. It's Charles City can't put together a varsity program. Sibley O'Sheedon was a state, I think, runner-up or semifinalist two or three years ago. You know, West Sioux, they have good athletics. Some of the Des Moines schools are struggling to put together teams, and it's a problem. And I'm not smart enough to give a solution.
I'm not either, Jeff. It just didn't become hard overnight. Basketball's always been hard.
Yeah.
Very true. Very true. Looking at the college ranks here for a couple minutes, great win for Iowa the other night. Certainly solidified them into the big NCAA tournament. And they should be fine. They're playing very good basketball as of late. And, of course, when you shoot it well, you're going to look good.
Yeah, and they've probably risen maybe to a NCAA 7 seed. You know, assuming a win over Wisconsin Sunday, you should never assume that, but they have beaten Wisconsin 29 in a row. I would think if they could get a Big Ten win, maybe the best thing that could happen to Iowa would be to be part of a six-way tie for sixth place in the Big Ten and get an 11 seed so that maybe they can avoid USC and UCLA as long as possible and maybe sneak away into the semifinals.
Yeah, possible. There's that. And then completely different situation for Bill Fenley and Ames. Charlie Cream has them in the last four in again with his latest today. And they got a big one against the Wildcats coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, and I see that Yoki Lee is probably not going to be playing, so that might be a winnable game for Iowa State. You know, they got to get a statement win or two here at some point, and time's kind of running out. And I think that's probably where they belong right now, is right on that bubble. And they better be careful, and they better get a win here or two, or they're not going to make it.
Yeah. And congratulations to Cabe Lauby becoming UNI's all-time three-point shooter, the former Marion athlete.
Yeah, she was. She had a lot of range in high school, and she turned that into a really good college career. And UNI's having another nice year, and so are the ladies out in Des Moines.
Yeah, don't forget about Drake. I know you don't forget about Drake.
No. I've got a vote on the All-American teams for Associated Press, and I'm really tempted to give one of those third team spots to Katie Denebeer. She's great.
Yeah, she is under recruited, certainly.
Yeah, but boy, she's had a really nice career.
Yeah. All right, Jeff. Safe travels for you to Des Moines. Yeah. And I'll see you on Monday.
Yeah, you too. It's going to be a lot of fun, and tell somebody to turn down the wind between now and then.
I think they will. No 6881. I will not ask Jeff about refereeing. How many times have you heard "Call It Both Ways" this year?
Jeff has a podcast called that.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah, I don't have enough fingers and toes for that.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
All right. Jeff Linder of the Gazette joining us here talking high school girls tournament and a little college women's basketball as well. We'll take a break, come back, wrap things up for you on the Gym Class right after this.
The silly moments, the proud moments, even the hard moments, they're what make life remarkable. And they're why Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield is here for every moment, committed to making healthcare better, more affordable, with more choices for care, and service and coverage that give you peace of mind no matter what comes your way, so you can show up for every tender moment, every brave moment, and every wouldn't miss it for the world moment, knowing that Blue is here for you. Go to Wellmark.com/every moment to find a plan right for you.
Business owners, are you tired of hearing, "I didn't know you were here"? Frustrated that your unique story isn't being told? If your sales are flat or declining, it's time for a change. I'm Stacey Daybault, branding specialist and strategist with KZIA, and I have the solution. Brandsformation is a proven marketing system that delivers results. You'll have an entire team of experts working on your message to inspire and drive sales.
To schedule an appointment, call this station or text BRAND to 76626.
Back to wrap things up here on a Friday edition of the Gym Class here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN. Spencer on Sports coming your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. I mentioned the three NCAA men's basketball games we have coming your way tomorrow. Then the Iowa State women against Kansas State on Sunday afternoon. We'll have that game for you from Hilton Coliseum as well. So a lot of hoops coming up over the weekend. Looking forward to that. PGA news, Mark, the number one amateur in the world. It is official. He is now on the PGA Tour. He secured his card, Luke Clanton. And he made the cut. Not only made the cut today, only needed to do that. He is in a tie for eighth right now. So we will see much more of him on the tour. It sounds like he's going to drop out of Florida State and join up after the Masters, the way it sounds.
Yeah, he's a junior. Very emotional moment going off the green. And he's got a chance to maybe win this tournament. Who knows?
Yeah, it's Nick Dunlap, who was at Alabama, won it last year. I think Alabama. It's either Alabama or Auburn. I think it was Alabama. I'm going to say Alabama. But he won last year when he was in college, and he immediately went to the PGA Tour. You can't turn it down when you have all these incentives of, you know, being on the tour, having status for a couple years, et cetera, et cetera. You can't turn that thing down as well as the money.
The latter of the main thing.
The latter of the main thing. Yes. True. Very, very true. So Iowa Northwestern tonight. I don't even want to make a prediction on this thing, Mark, because it could go 100 different directions tonight at Welsh Ryan Arena. So we'll have a lot. You guys will have a lot to talk about on Monday.
We will. I'm calling for an Iowa victory on a Josh Dix basket at the buzzer.
That happened in December, Mark.
Can happen again.
You're going to call that one again. All right. You and Isaac will man the ship on Monday. I'll be back on Tuesday, as I'll be down at the Girls State Basketball Tournament on Monday. Have a good weekend, Mark.
I will. You too. We'll talk to you Monday.
All right. And you've been listening to the Gym Class right here in Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Billy, your gas light's on. We need to stop and fill up.
No way, Jen. Gas around here is too expensive. We can make it a little further.
Billy, listen to your big sister. You don't need to drive all over searching for the lowest gas prices. Do what I do and use Upside.
Upside?
Do you live under a rock, Billy? Upside is the